Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, welcome into the Nick Baugh Podcast, coming to you live from the AOI Studios, a.k.a. my basement office. I love it down here. And when I was transitioning this room into my pod room, you know, I had a vision of what I wanted, and AOI made it come true. The desk, the design of it, the chairs, it all looks great. It's comfortable. I absolutely love it. And whether it's construction or furniture, AOI is here to help make your ideas a reality, just like they did for me with my pod room. You got to check out AOI on the web, aoicorp.com. That's aoicorp.com, or give them a ring, 402-896-5520. While we're here, if you missed it, make sure you go check out my last podcast I did with Bo Robert Root, former All Big 12 Conference linebacker and my best friend on planet Earth. We broke down the new Nebraska football hires on Scott Frost's staff. We get into what we like about Matt Lubick and Mike Dawson coming on board. It was a really, really fun, interesting chat, so make sure you go check that out. I am back from sunny Los Angeles. I was in L.A. all weekend doing studio for Fox, which is always great. You know, sometimes people ask me, like, hey, do you like studio? Do you like games? I like doing games more, but it's a blast to do studio. I mean, sometimes I wish I could do more studio at times. It's so interesting, though, because it's such a different experience doing studio in kind of like your preparation process. Like when you're preparing for a game, you do a deep dive on two teams in the preparation process. So, you know, for instance, I got Creighton and Butler on Sunday. You know, you're doing a deep dive on Creighton and on Butler. Everything, right? But with studio, you have to prepare for the mass of the country, right? Like, so you, instead of doing a deep dive on two teams, you do a shallow dive on like 30 to 35 teams. And it's just a totally different experience. And it was fun, you know? One of the fun things about it was, honestly, usually with my busy game schedule, calling games and preparing for games, I don't have very many opportunities to just sit on a Saturday and watch games all day. But that is exactly what I did on Saturday. I got to sit and watch all, like, Baylor and West Virginia and Duke and Ohio State and Purdue and Butler and Georgetown and Providence and Michigan State and Maryland and Seton Hall. Like, I just sat and watched all these games. It was just a blast. Because to be honest with you, sometimes it's hard when you have a heavy game schedule and you are deep diving on those two teams, sometimes it can sacrifice your ability to watch a bunch of different games, if I'm being real candid with you. Like, sometimes I have to go, like, download games and watch them. Like, yesterday I was finally able to watch the Baylor-Kansas game the first time they played. Like, sometimes I'm having to do that. It's hard to watch all that stuff in real time because ultimately the number one thing I have to do is get ready for my next game. But it was great to do studio. Got to hang out with Steve Lavin all day. And he's the best, man. Watching hoops with him. And we did it in what is called the Avocado Room in the LA Fox Studios. It's a cool room with a million TVs and these comfy chairs. And Lav and I just hung out, watched games, did our studio thing. It was a blast. Always enjoy getting out to LA doing some studio. Okay. The guest of the day and on deck for the podcast here that we're currently doing here, we got Paul Lusk. Creighton assistant coach. Bunch of different things I want to get to with Coach Lusk, and I'll set him up here in a second. But before we do that, we got to talk about Creighton. So it is Wednesday, February 19th. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and the Creighton Blue Jays are the hottest team in the Big East, and they're arguably one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They've won at Villanova, at Seton Hall, and at Marquette. And what they did to DePaul to start the second half the other day was unbelievable. They are hot. But all of a sudden, And it's amazing, you know, why you got to kind of stay the course with things. All of a sudden, in the span of a couple of weeks, Creighton potentially winning the Big East regular season crown doesn't seem out of the question. In fact, Creighton controls their own destiny for it right now. Seton Hall lost at Providence over the weekend. Creighton's one game back from Seton Hall. They already have beat Seton Hall in Jersey, and Seton Hall has to come to Creighton on March 7th, final game of the regular season. I mean, say it all out. Creighton controls their own destiny to win the Big East regular season crown. And all of a sudden, Creighton getting as high as a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament doesn't seem out of the question if they keep this rolling. Bottom line, Creighton's playing great right now. And I was thinking about this. One of the marks of a great basketball team, at times, one of the marks at times can be, it can be hard to definitively say who that team's best player is. And Creighton can kind of feel like that. You know, I've been on the Marcus Zagorowski corner all year, and I'm not moving off that. I still think he's the engine, the heartbeat, the MVP of this team. But with that being said, what Tyshawn Alexander is doing is special. Alexander is undeniably in both the Big East Defensive Player of the Year and Big East Conference Player of the Year discussion right now. What that dude has done defensively, really impressive. And what's amazing about it is I don't think anyone really saw this kind of defensive potential from him. I mean, a year ago, Davion Mintz was the defensive stopper, not Tyshawn Alexander. Heading into the year, when you're starting to, you know, you're projecting a team and looking at him, like, I don't think anyone said, you know, and with Tyshawn Alexander, you got a guy that could potentially be the conference, you know, defensive player. I don't think anybody was saying that. I mean, I feel like I know this team as good as anybody and this roster as good as anybody. I didn't think Tyshawn Alexander was. I thought he was a solid defender. I didn't think he was a potentially elite defender. But what he's been doing is elite. What he's done to Marcus Howard twice and Miles Powell once is elite. Those two guards, Howard and Powell, I mean, those guys are first-team All-American candidates. Howard's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Big East Conference. Those two guys are two of the best guards in the country. And if we're being honest, if we're, you know, keeping it 100, as the kids say, Tyshawn has straight up dominated both those guys when they've matched up. In both games against Marcus Howard and Tyshawn Alexander guarding him the whole time, first matchup, Howard goes 6 of 16 from the floor. And then the second matchup, last night in Milwaukee, Marcus Howard goes 4 of 14 from the floor. And Creighton won both games. So Howard, for a grand total against Tyshawn Alexander, was 10 for 30 from the floor and averaged about 15 points per game in the two games, which is really, really good considering that this, you know, Marcus Howard leads the country in scoring at about 27 points per game. And in the game at Seton Hall about a week ago, Marcus Howard had held Miles Powell to 3 of 16 from the floor. I mean, that's incredible. That is incredible. And, you know, to drive home the fact, this stat is courtesy of Matt DeMarinis via Twitter. Make sure you go follow Matt and read his stuff. White and Blue Review does an outstanding job. Tyshawn Alexander in 3 games versus Marcus Howard and Miles Powell this season. Tyshawn Alexander is averaging 20 points per game, shooting 46% from the floor, 8 steals, 2 turnovers. Howard and Powell are averaging 14 points per game. They're shooting 28% from the floor, and they have 12 turnovers. I mean, like I said, if we're being honest, he has dominated both guys when Tyshawn Alexander's been on the floor with him and matched up with him. And even, you know, the analytical world digs Tyshawn Alexander on D. Defensive efficiency numbers individually, which is something that, you know, advanced analytics can you know, bear out. Tyshawn is number one in the country. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, I thought a few weeks ago, Romaro Gill of Seton Hall had the Defensive Player of the Year wrapped up. But now I'm not so sure. And to be honest with you, I thought Miles Powell had the Conference Player of the Year wrapped up. Man, and I know, I mean, I almost got to take a drink before I say that. Like, If Creighton wins out and wins the league, Tyson Alexander has to be in the conference player of the year discussion, right? Right? I mean, I'm not like, if Creighton wins out, if Creighton wins out and wins the regular season conference crown, like, he's got to be in the conference player of the year discussion, right? I'm a big believer in that. Like, I'm not saying the conference player of the year always has to be whoever wins the league, but like, I'm a bit like, to the victor go the spoils, man. Like, you better, team success breeds individual success. Now, it's going to be really hard to supplant Miles Powell and Marcus Howard. I mean, Howard was the biggest player of the year last year, and Miles Powell was the preseason player of the year this year, and Miles Powell's been in the discussion for national player of the year. So it kind of doesn't make much sense that, like, your national player of the year, Miles Powell. Your biggest conference player of the year, not Miles Powell. You know what I mean? It's like, what? Huh? So the reality is sometimes when a narrative gets written, it can be hard to erase it. So Tyshawn Alexander has an uphill battle, but it's a discussion now. The guy has played so well, and most importantly, Creighton has played so well that Alexander has put himself in both the Big East Defensive Player of the Year and Big East Conference Player of the Year discussions. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, the way Creighton is playing right now is, whew. I mean, they're not just one of the hottest teams in the conference. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. And so you hope they're not, you know, peaking too early. You hope they can kind of keep this rolling. But, you know, this team looks and feels special right now. No doubt about it. Okay, so today's guest, Paul Lusk, Creighton assistant coach. I've been wanting to get this guy on for a while. Coach Lusk has been on the staff here in Omaha at Creighton for two years, and he came from Missouri State, where Paul Lusk was the head coach for 7 years. And Paul Lusk is he's a longtime assistant of Matt Painter, and so he's kind of like a defensive guy. And Lusk is pretty much the defensive coordinator for this Creighton team. And tell you what, he's done a great job. Lusk doesn't get the love he should from people with the job he's done on defense with this program and with this team in particular. Creighton is so much more sound and tenacious and connected defensively this year. And I think a lot of that can get traced back to Coach Lusk. And I figured, you know, with Tyshawn Alexander's emergence on that end of the floor and Creighton's emergence as a much improved defensive team, you know what? I was like, you know what? I got to get my guy Paul Lusk on the pod here and chat with him. So, you know, let's do it. Let's bring him on. Here is Creighton assistant coach. Great guy. One of my favorite guys. Paul Lusk. All right, it is a pleasure to have this guy who is currently, I'd imagine, Creighton assistant coach Paul Lusk. Are you on Dodge Street right now, driving into the office? Are we on like West Dodge, or where are we at right now?
I've got the traffic figured out. I don't go in during the rush hours.
Smart.
You're either going really early or a little bit late.
Yes, isn't it funny the difference? Because living in Omaha, there's like a 5 to 10 minute window where if you're like before it, you're great. But if you're after that little 10-minute window, you're in gridlock for a long time. It's not good. So you're making adjustments. I like it here, Lusk. I like it.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So, you know, we're taping this here on the 19th. It's almost 10 o'clock in the morning. Last night, Creighton went into Milwaukee, won a really kind of tough, intense. It was physical. Guys were there was a lot of dudes on the floor. It was a hard fought win. We got to start with Tyshawn Alexander, coach. Great again defensively. He's now had a crack at Howard twice and Powell once, and he's pretty much locked all three up to the degree that you can lock those guys up. What is it that Tyshawn Alexander's doing so well defensively to you?
Well, I think he's got good size, and it's funny, when we were doing his little pregame workout yesterday, right when we got done of his little shooting workout, I just said, man, I wasn't here when you were a freshman, but isn't experience and mileage in terms of logging minutes and being in game situations and just evolving and maturing isn't that a big difference? I said, because like last year, if you didn't generally, if he didn't make a shot, I don't know how committed he was to the other end. And
yeah,
I just think he's bought in. He has some tools. He's taken pride in it. And I think that's a great credit to him. Can you be a good player when you're not making shots? Can you still impact the game? And I think, in my opinion, like he's doing it as good as anyone in our league. And mm-hmm. I know you talk about Miles Powell, who's a terrific player, and Marcus Howard, but Ty's doing it on both ends. He's impacting the game. We know about his elite shot making ability, but I think his rebounding, even early in the year, he had a couple double digit rebound games. He's getting assists. He takes care of the ball. He's driving the ball better, playing off 2 feet. So he's doing it on both ends, and it's impressive.
You know, I think one of the most underrated things for good defensive players is being able to anticipate and read when things are coming, especially when you're guarding guys like Powell and Howard, where all of a sudden you don't get caught flat-footed and get banged with a screen, and now all of a sudden you're screwed, right? I mean, you like when you're guarding guys like that, you have to see things 2 to 3 ticks before they happen. I think he's doing that at a really high level too.
Well, I think one area that he's gotten better at, like so many times, if you're a reactive defensive player, instead of being proactive and doing exactly what you said, thinking a little bit ahead, you're gonna be in trouble if you're reactive. And he's a lot more proactive. I think he studies it. I think he's motivated by having to go guard those very good players. So I don't have the stats in front of me, Nick, but even against DePaul the other day, like we're very concerned about Jalen Coleman Lands because he can get away from people. And like Ty's line, I think he had 8 rebounds, 5 steals, however many points, but he's becoming a complete player. And I still think there's a lot of room for growth for him, but he's playing at a high level right now.
Paul, don't you think like the little anecdote you just gave about Tyshawn talking to him before the game about like mileage and experience and all that, could you extrapolate that for the rest of the team? And let's be honest, Coach, like a lot of these games, Creighton lost a year ago, you know, like right there, couldn't maybe some nights, you know, put themselves in a position to win and just couldn't get over the hump. Like there are a lot of tangible differences with this team, but could you argue that the biggest reason why Creighton's, you know, 15th in the country right now is the intangible difference of just experience and shared experiences from a year ago?
I mean, I think that's the most important thing in college basketball. And when you have guys that have been through it and maybe they've gone through some tough losses while having some good wins, but growing, going through those experiences, sticking together, sticking with the process. Mac does a great job with that in terms of just keeping our guys positive, seeing the big picture, having great temperament with them. Mac's one of the best at that, but our guys have just, you know, they've got mileage on them now.
Yeah.
And now they're able to take that mileage and apply it. And it helps us. It helps our team. And we've got very cerebral guys, which is very important on both ends. Everybody talks about it on the defensive end, but you have to have cerebral guys on both ends. And I think they understand each other. And they understand what we're trying to do. So, yeah, all of that experience. You can't be good at something that you've never done, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if an 18-year-old kid goes to a car lot and he tries to buy a car, who do you think's going to win that battle? The car dealer, because he's never been through it.
Right.
And so it's kind of the same with us. Our guys have got some experience. They've been through it, so they're going to be better at it.
So – what's it been like for you? Because you're kind of like the de facto defensive coordinator for the team. But, you know, your background, you know, being around Matt Painter and that style of defense that is much more kind of like, hey, get in a stance. Let's heat up these guys. You know, let's get physical with them. How has it been kind of blending your vision of defense with what Coach McDermott wants to do defensively, which is a little bit different because it's a lot of – there's some scatter report specific things on, hey, we're not going to guard this guy. We're going to go over this screen but under that screen. How has that been for you?
Well, it's been good, number one, and it's a credit to Mac because he's a great coach, but it's – you don't ever feel like you're working for Mac. You feel like you're working with him. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that. But just getting our guys to buy in. And we've changed some things. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that have to go out and execute it. And it's not so much about executing it on game night. It's can you do it in practice and have some things that you have your hat on, and we've gotten better. We're still, you know, we still have areas that we have to grow in on the defensive end, but it's been fun, and we've got a great staff to work with, and the guys are, that's half the battle, Nick, like having guys that want to be coached,
right.
And our guys do want to be coached, and they listen, and yet we've given them a voice. Mac always gives our guys a voice, and that's very important too, because you just don't want to be the only voice. You want your guys almost being team led and them having a voice. So they understand what we want to do. They buy in, and it's been fun to watch.
How maybe an interesting question here. You were the head coach at Missouri State for 7 years prior to coming to Creighton. Did your time as a head coach make you a better assistant coach, having now understood kind of what it's like to sit in that chair?
I think no doubt that when you've been a head coach and whether it's through struggles or through successes, you're just gonna be better. And I remember when I first visited with Mac about the job, I told him, I said, hey, so many guys are chasing that head coaching job. And I said, hey, I've been through that, had some tough times at Missouri State, but I'm here to serve. I want to help our guys. I want to help the program. And I'm really not worried about anything else. I don't want a whole lot of the credit. I enjoy coaching the guys. I enjoy working with the staff. And I think that's what it's about.
Right.
And I'm grateful that, you know, Mac has let me do that. He lets me coach and he lets me have a voice. But he's the boss and it's his program. He's done a great job with it. But there's no doubt that having that experience has probably helped me hopefully become better. You're always trying to get better.
So what's it like as a coach, as when you're on the staff, when your team is hot and your team's playing great? I mean, right now you guys are playing best basketball you have all season long. You've won 8 of your last 9 games. You know, because you go in, is it more about just every day coming into practice and just reaffirming things, trying to continue to keep them? Do you try to make sure they're not getting too full of themselves? Like what's that like when, I think everybody can wrap their mind around when things aren't going well, kind of what, you know, you're thinking of different ways to kind of switch it. But when things are going well, that's a different kind of approach when you go to the practice floor or whatever the case may be. What is that like?
Well, that can always be challenging, and you would prefer to concentrate on the X's and O's in college basketball and the development. But you know this because you've been around the game long enough. Most of the time, that isn't what you're concentrating on. You're concentrating on getting the 6 inches between the ears right,
yeah.
You know, and making sure they're motivated, making sure that if you're coming off of a tough loss, you know, do they need a little bit of a push? I generally think that when you're feeling good and you're winning a lot of games, that's when you got to keep them sharper and maybe turn the heat up. But I think where we're at right now, Nick, you always worry about this time of the season, like, are you going to be motivated? Are guys going to be hooked up? But I think this group has grown, and they're a pretty mature group. I think they understand what's at stake. And I think, you know, hopefully we won't have to worry about if they have any juice or not.
Sure.
They're going to be ready to go. And you have to enjoy the wins, but we'll have a very tough game against Butler Sunday.
What's your impression of the Big East here? I mean, you know, you've been in the Big Ten. Great. You understand me. What do you think of the Big East in particular this season?
Well, I mean, I've really enjoyed it, and it's been good for me to be in a different league. I've you know, most of my career I've been on mostly college type campuses, college type towns, and being in the Big East where there's big cities, yeah. and obviously Omaha, it is a big city. It's been a lot of fun for me. Very impressed with it. Great league, great fans, great coaches. So from that standpoint, I've really enjoyed it to see something different and to continue to learn.
Well, a couple more things we'll let you run here, Coach. What do you, I mean, I've just been, if you would turn on the film from, for example, like the Arizona State game and watch how Mahoney was approaching things and then watch the last few games, it's remarkable how relatively quickly he's assimilated into the system and the style and the way that you guys want to play. What do you attribute that to? Like, what's been the number one catalyst for that? Because, man, he is, I think Travis Steele called him a game changer, and he certainly is. But a lot of that is like, yeah, he's got the talent, but he is just, he has fit in pretty seamlessly after, you know, a few weeks when he became eligible.
No, he's done a great job. And if you remember, Nick, even his first game against Oklahoma, he was ultra aggressive, and we like that aggressiveness. I really believe, and I think our staff believed, that, you know, we felt like maybe we were going to have to tell Denzel to be more aggressive. All right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously that was out the window against Oklahoma. He came out and was letting it rip. And I think that's a good thing, but he's fit in. And when you're winning, it's easier to fit in. So, he's an absolute weapon for us. Especially when we go to that small ball lineup, I think he's helped us on both ends. And he'll continue to get better. He's got a lot of growth left in him, but, that's been a big thing. It's numerous things. You got to have good guys. You got to get on a roll. You've got to get some breaks. Losing Sharif for that amount of time, we were for the most part able to overcome it. But like for Sharif, every freshman goes through the grind of the season, and they all hit a wall. I've seen NBA players that when they were freshmen hit walls, and while Sharif was out with the concussion, I think that kind of refreshed him though, physically, mentally. His legs are back up under him, so getting him back is help. But yeah, all those guys are important. Denzel's been tremendous for us, and we hope that continues.
Get you out of here on this. I mean, for you guys to kind of keep this rolling and keep the momentum in the right direction and keep on kind of trending in the right direction heading to March, like when you look at your group, what is it that you need to maybe do better, or you need to continue to do well as this season marches forward?
Well, it always helps to make shots.
Yeah, sure.
That covers up a lot of sins. But I think last night, what were we, 19 assists to 10 turnovers. Yeah. We had too many turnovers against DePaul. But I think continue to take care of the basketball, just play. I think we're at our best when we just play and we share the basketball. And then you have to get stops. And we're limited in some areas from a defensive standpoint, but then when we do get stops, getting the rebound and being able to get out in transition. And then I'll say this, and this may sound very trivial, but you have to stay healthy.
No doubt.
And Mac's done a terrific job of limiting our practice time.
Right.
And because at the end of the day, those guys are going to play a lot of minutes come game night. So he's done a really good job of being smart about our approach to practice, and I think that's helped us, and we've got to continue to do that.
Paul Lusk, he is. It sounds like you've arrived at the office, so go in there and start doing your thing. You guys are doing a great job. It's been a blast to watch you, and I will see you on Sunday, my man.
Sounds good, Nick. Keep up the good work, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
Production.